In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is truly risen.
Christos Anesti.
Alephos Anesti.
Al Messiah come.
Hearken come.
Living in a first world country, in the 21st century, sometimes, and maybe more times than not, makes grasping certain texts and metaphors of our liturgy and certain elements or parts of sacred scripture rather difficult to understand or grasp or appreciate. This is one of those weeks where that's true. Beginning with Vespers, Great Vespers on Mid-Pentecost, which was Wednesday, it's the midpoint of the Pentecostarian season. And today, we had this theme of water. And how many of us really can appreciate the significance and the, shall I use the word, vital importance of a well, a deep water well that offers refreshing, cool water to slake the thirst of one's parched throat and to wet and cool the baked, crusted lips when we're really, really thirsty. How many of us have taken any time to really ponder the vital importance of water? In a technologically advanced society of ours, water is taken for granted, and water is wasted. Water is used for all kinds of purposes other than even slaking the thirst. We fill pools with water. We, without a thought, just turn the faucet on and we let it run. A bath is but a turn of a faucet away. To drink when I have a little thirst, the water font is but water is but a faucet turn away from you and me. Everywhere in our society. Nonetheless, and not too distant a past, even in places like Texas, in Oklahoma, in Kansas, Colorado, probably we're talking about like the 1930s during the Great Dust Bowl, water was considered a more precious commodity than even gold itself. Water rights was of greater importance than even gold. Why? Because without access to water, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to die, or you are a slave to someone else who owns that source of water. At the end of the day, then, water is a key element to life. And then we come to today's liturgy, we come to today's scripture passage, and we have this theme of water, and we don't quite appreciate the significance of it. Wednesday of this week celebrated mid-Pentecost. It's the midpoint between Pascha and Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we've been hearing the Troparion every day for mid-Pentecost. We heard it in today's liturgy. I quote, "Give my thirsty soul to drink from the waters of true worship. For you called out to all men Whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Unfortunately, because we live, we are constantly being satisfied by a consumerist society. Even this basic primal desire of thirst largely remains unknown to you and me. Hence, you and I fail to grasp the extent of the human thirst for true worship, because we don't fully grasp what real thirst is. But the church gives to us an example of someone who was really thirsty, who was craving to have her thirst finally quenched. So on Wednesday, the church has the gospel passage of our Lord saying, "All of you come to me who thirst." And the very Sunday afterwards, we have this woman, the Samaritan woman, whom tradition has called or named Photini. And she's answering that call of our Lord. Who's thirsty? She was thirsty. And she's thirsty every day. And every day she had to labor hard to slake her thirst. Every day she had to get up and break her back and go at the heat of the day and fill up a jar, a pail of water. More so, she and everyone in that village knew the fear. They had the fear. They had the worry that what happens one day when this Jacob's well dries up for our village? Or what happens one day if someone comes along and poisons this well? What will we do in Sychar? Where will we go? How will we survive? When that happens, life and death literally flashes before your very eyes. And such was the way of life for every civilization before we had running water. And when it happened, and it happened oftentimes that wells would dry up, wells would get poisoned, you'd have to get up and move to another region, to another location, migrating for another well from which to drink. And then they would start a new town, a new little village. And what do we do after we have a well? Well, like Sychar did, you have Jacob's well, and we build a little town around it, and we build our altars to our gods, and we begin to worship again. That's what happened in Samaria. That's what happened with Abraham and Isaac and all the patriarchs. They would travel around, they'd find a well, they'd dig, and then they'd begin to worship too. And they'd build their altars to their man-made gods, the pagans would, or to power, or to money, or to ideology, whatever it might be. But such is the story of human history. And that's the background of today's gospel passage. And then into this town journeyed the God-man. And he sits down on this well and he waits. He waits until a woman comes and he says, "Give me to drink. Give me to drink. I'm thirsty." And what we see beautifully portrayed to us and depicted to us by St. John the Evangelist is the double thirst. The human person thirsts, and God thirsts. The same one who put the profound thirst into our own hearts is the very God who thirsts for his human creature. And so the God-man comes to our wells. And what does he do to our with our pathetic wells? He sits down and he waits. And God will weary himself out while he waits to meet someone at the well. Because God thirsts. And when the woman comes and God says, "Give me to drink," what ensues is a conversation that begins in the normal fashion on these kind of conversations. It's evasive. It's hostile. And the Samaritan woman, oh, she's defensive, she's dismissive, and she's sarcastic. But the Lord is not deterred by her. He continues to engage with her, and what happens? Eventually, as it always does, the unavoidable, most important question comes up. Where and what is the true place of worship? Where and what is the true way to encounter the living God? It's the eternal question. And Fotini says, it's here at Jacob's well, but you Jews say it's over there on Jerusalem. So who's right? And our Lord responds to the woman, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Where then is the place of the new liturgy? Where does the human person finally slake his or her thirst once and for all? The Samaritan woman in her own way said, "Give me this water that I may not thirst anymore, and that I won't have to come here and draw water anymore." And the Lord said to her, "He who drinks of the water I will give shall never thirst. I will be a fountain of water springing up to eternal life." Note the language. I will be a fountain of water springing up to eternal life. On the day of the resurrection, the birth of the river of life began to flow, watering all of creation, giving drink to an entire cosmos that was thirsty. And this new wellspring extinguishes permanently every thirst, because every thirst is a manifestation of death. And our Lord destroyed death. On the day of the resurrection, death was rendered a Passover, a passing from life to eternal life, where the insatiable thirst of the human heart was finally, ultimately satisfied. And my friends, That wellspring is called the liturgy. The liturgy. The liturgy is the river of life. The risen, incorruptible body of the Jesus the Christ welling up from an empty tomb, and that river flows out into the entire cosmos, and everything this water touches makes it incorruptible. By the event of the resurrection, where God and man unite eternally, and that's what happens. The thirst of God and the thirst of man meet permanently and perfectly in the risen Jesus the Christ. And at that moment, the walls of death collapsed. The walls of separation disappeared. All thirst was quenched, and it was satisfied by the life that sprung from the tomb. And this unprecedented power that the river of life exercises in the humanity of the risen Christ, my friends, that is liturgy at the very heart and essence. And that's why in today's gospel passage, when Fotini experienced this reality, she left her water jar on the well and she went back to the village. She was satisfied. She was fulfilled. And such is the power of the liturgy in the risen Jesus the Christ. Christ is risen.